right. It is my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today, John Parks. John, please.
Good morning. And it is a pleasure to be back. It's been a while. But I do thank you for allowing me to come. And we're praying. We're praying for you all. Praying that God would direct the right man of God to come, to serve here. So we are your missionaries with Baptist Mid-Missions, Campus Bible Fellowship. We have some updated prayer cards. I don't know if I showed this in Sunday school, but some updated prayer cards in the little prayer card rack out there. So no new children, still have the same five children, but a little bit updated picture of those. But yes, let's pray, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to just serve you together, to come to just challenge one another, to admonish one another, to just encourage one another, to edify and uplift one another. And we just pray that through the service today that you would speak to hearts as you know they need to hear from you, that you would just use me to speak your truth as correctly, clearly. And we just pray that as you promise, your word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you have. And we pray that through today's message, you will be glorified and honored. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And yes, we are your missionaries with Baptist Mid-Missions. I'm John Park. My wife, Rebecca, and our children, Hannah, Sarah, Rachel, Andrew, and Prisca, I think I got them all right, are down at Faith Baptist Church in Iowa City. And do appreciate your prayers for our family, for our ministry at the University of Iowa, and for my wife's family, my wife's mother, Terry Lemon, in Florida, is struggling with cancer. She's been going through 3-4 years now with cancer, but it's really, really taken its toll and it's become much more difficult for her. We don't know what the Lord has for the future, but we're thankful that she's a believer. She and Rebecca's father are Christians, trusting the Lord in this. We do appreciate your prayers for Rebecca, for her family, just for God's grace, God's mercy to work in and through the situation that he has lovingly placed into our lives. We know he has a purpose for it. We know he's in control. And even though it's difficult, something we would not have chosen, for God's purposes, he has chosen it. And we trust him. Well, we appreciate your prayers. So, yes, we are ministering with Campus Bible Fellowship, the student ministry of the university at the University of Iowa. And we've been there about 7 years. Originally, we were in China. My wife and I were missionaries in China from 2008 to 2015, serving in China. The Lord brought us back to the U.S., but we still had a heart for internationals. And the Lord moved us to student ministry, where a vast majority of the students that we deal with are internationals, and many of them are from China. Just over the past couple of years, that dynamic has shifted quite a bit, but we're still thankful. Thankful for what the opportunities that the Lord has given us. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just want to look at a familiar passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And the Lord tells us in his word, "In these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Here God is commanding Israel and us to diligently teach his word to our children. And I mentioned in the Sunday school hour that we have started a parenting class at Faith Baptist Church. It's open to anyone, but international students have taken advantage of it. And we started this class knowing that just a lot of international students, there are a lot that are married. There are a lot that have young children that come over. And we deal a lot with graduate, postgraduate, postdoc students, so they're a little bit older. They have families. And we just saw the need. And when we were in China, we had other missionaries that saw this great need of instructing families in biblical parenting principles. So we started that class, and it's been just a blessing for us, a blessing for the students that have been participating in this class. But God commands us to teach our children diligently His Word. So I shared with you, I guess, last one time previously when I was here, some very interesting things I learned about the Chinese language while we were missionaries in China. And I want to kind of continue that study a little bit today. But the Chinese language was developed roughly 5,000 years ago. But they used a series of drawings to represent symbols, pictures, drawings of objects. And they used those drawings to then become words to represent these objects in their language. And they would combine these different little pictures in certain ways to convey a story, a message, to give a meaning to another word or another concept. So for these different symbols to be combined together, there had to be a common understanding of the history and why these symbols were chosen to represent certain objects, certain concepts. I want to look at a few more characters today that, as we look at them, it'll be clear that the Chinese had an understanding of the biblical account of creation recorded in Genesis. And they wanted their children, the future generations, to have this knowledge. And they passed it down in their language. They used their own language to pass down biblical truths to future generations. And it is pretty amazing, if you think about it, that as we look at some of these characters, I think you'll see a clear correlation between the Genesis account of history and how these Chinese represented these words in their language. But they wanted, again, future generations to have this, to understand this, to know this. And they had this written in their language roughly 1,000 years before Moses, by inspiration, wrote the Genesis account of history. You know, this was common knowledge. This was common knowledge in the world, which, again, through science, we've gotten away from. You know, what science calls as fact, we go back to Genesis. Well, this is the truth. And sadly, so many people are putting their faith, their trust in science instead of the Word of God. But the Chinese had this, and I think it's very clear that they had this truth in their own language. So, just wanted to take a few minutes to share some hidden Bible truths that are in the Chinese language. So the first character I want to look at is character for happiness, blessing or happiness. Chinese New Year just wrapped up. I think it was last week. Probably saw a lot of activity, maybe in here, Cedar Rapids area. This character you will see everywhere during Chinese New Year. I mean, this is the favorite character the Chinese use during Chinese New Year because they want the New Year to bring them happiness, blessing in the New Year. It's a new start. They want this happiness and blessing. So you'll see this character everywhere in Chinese culture during Chinese New Year. How does this represent happiness and blessing? Well, it looks just like a bunch of scribbles. Let's look at it. Let's see how they picked these symbols to represent blessing and happiness in their language. So the first part of the character is we have the character for God in the Chinese language. They have several different characters for God, but this is one of their characters for God. Interesting. They put God in the meaning of happiness and blessing. Another part of the character is first, or one. Next part of the character is mouth, which also is used to represent person. And over the centuries, you know, the characters have changed a little bit, become a little more standardized, but you know, it looks a little bit like an open mouth, that's square. And then the bottom part of the character is the character for garden, which looks like a plot of ground divided up. Almost farm, like Iowa. We know about farms. So we combine all these characters, and we have the character for blessing, happiness. So we have God, and then first person in the garden. Where could they have gotten that idea to make this the representation for blessing, for happiness in their language? Well, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm not making this up. This is in the Chinese language, and it's in the Bible. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And you're all very familiar with this verse. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The first person in the garden with God. If we go back to Genesis 1, verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. God, with the first person in the garden, everything was perfect. There's no sin, there's no danger, there's no fear, there's no sickness, there's no arguing. Perfect relationship between God and his creation. Blessing, happiness. The Chinese understood that. They knew the history of creation, and they captured that truth in their language, in their representation for happiness, for blessing. It's not a coincidence that they chose this in their language. Next character I want to look at is character for boat. Like a boat, okay, big deal. Boat, what's so special? What's so important about a boat? Well, let's see how they chose to represent this character, this word in their language. So the first part is a vessel, again, something that contains, that holds something else. Next is the character for eight, the number eight. And then, you know, the bottom character, we just saw that, mouth or person. And when they use this mouth symbol to represent a person, it's very significant the way they use it. They use this to represent person when it's referring to people in the same family. Not just people at random. These are specifically people in the same family represented by the character of a mouth. So you put it all together, we have a vessel with eight people from the same family. Where did they get this idea to represent boat. Let's go back to the record in Genesis. Genesis chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, the boat, because of the waters of the flood. And jump down to verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And go down to verse 16. And they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, and God, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. Excuse me. And then if we go to even to the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, so Peter's recounting the same truth, which sometimes were disobedience when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament clearly indicate that eight people from the same family were saved from God's divine judgment of the flood by using an ark, the first boat recorded in history. Not a coincidence that the Chinese understood this truth and captured it in their language for future generations to know the truth of history, the truth from Genesis, that God had saved eight people in a boat. Interesting. Well, it keeps going. We'll look at the next character. Flood, deluge. How did the Chinese represent this? You know, the same character for eight, it's represented a little bit differently, but that is also the character for eight. Similar, very interesting. Using number eight again for flood. Then we have the top part is the character for united, joined together. Then the straight line is sometimes represented as earth, just the horizon. And we can combine united and earth, we get the character for total. Then over on the left-hand side is character for water. So we combine all the characters together is water, eight, united earth, total, means flood. What does Genesis say? So Genesis, back to Genesis chapter 7 again, and we'll look at verses 19 through 21. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved above on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upwards, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, and every man. So here Genesis records the total devastation that the flood caused over the entire earth. And how many people? 8 people were saved. The total of humanity, 8 people were saved. They survived the total devastation of the waters that covered the entire earth. This seems like a very accurate description of flood that the Chinese have put together in their language to pass down the history of the global flood to their children, to their grandchildren, to future generations. That 8, why did they use number 8? Well, Genesis makes it very clear. 8 people survived the total devastation of the flood on the earth. The Chinese were very wise. They wanted to keep the truth in their language. And it's sad how they've forgotten it today. If it's there, it's right in front of them every day. And they've forgotten. So this is why it's important, again, to continue. Another could be to pass on, to hand down, to continue. Let's break down this character that the Chinese designed. Number 8 again. Person, mouth, 8 people, the same family. Another representation for water. 8 people in the same family, water means to continue, to pass on, to hand down. Let's look in Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you, 8 people. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. In chapter 9, verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Continue on the earth. And in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 9, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These 3 were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Humanity continued from these 8 people that were saved from water. God used 8 people to continue the human race. And that Noah, again, was to pass down, this family was to pass down the traditions, the wisdom, the truth of God to future generations, to hand down, to continue, to pass on. Yeah. Why did the Chinese pick these characters? They knew the history. They knew the truth from Genesis. That this was God's plan to continue mankind, to continue the world. He just used 8 people through water to continue humanity, to continue civilization, to continue his creation. Let's see. So the last character I want to look at today is the character for pattern, for example. This one looks pretty complicated, a little more involved than some of the other characters. Well, let's take a look at it.
water.
Water is used in a lot of characters in the Chinese language. So the bottom part is character for water. This little dot on top of the water is sort of characterized by anointing. And when we combine anointing and water, we get the character for eternal. The character on the left is a character for tree. And you can, yeah, sometimes you can kind of see the how they got the character. I mean, again, we have the character for earth, that kind of straight line, the root structure under the earth, the trunk of the tree above the earth. Yeah, okay, I can kind of see that. For tree. You have a character for lamb. Combining these three, four characters, we get pattern example. So you have eternal, lamb, and tree, representing pattern, example in the Chinese language. So let's talk about eternal first. John chapter 4, verse 14. So Jesus is speaking with the woman at the well. It's a very common passage, very well understood passage. But Jesus tells her, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him," and water that I shall give him, "will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, eternal life." Water, anointing, eternal, everlasting. Jesus used that correlation that water and his water gives everlasting life, eternal life. Revelation 22, verse 1, just another reference to water. Just, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb." And several times in the Bible, in Scripture, water is used as a symbol, reference to life. Not just life, but to eternal life. Tree, the character for tree, why did they put that in this character, for example, for pattern? Well, if we go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Tree is very important in Scripture. The fact that God says it brings a curse to anyone who is hung on a tree. Who is hung on a tree? John 1:29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming to him. 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Lamb, tree, eternal. 1 Peter 1, chapter 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish. The Lamb of God made a curse for us on the tree that we might receive the gift of eternal life. Pattern, example. We'll continue in 1 Peter in chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. Jesus Christ, the eternal Lamb of God, suffered on the tree to pay our sin debt for us, that we, through faith, might receive the gift of eternal life. He is to be our example. Christ is to be our pattern of living as Christians. And there is a very wonderful correlation between Jesus Christ and the ark of Noah that Noah built. The ark was not Noah's idea to save himself from the flood. Noah didn't even know judgment was coming until God told him, God warned him. And God said, this is the way to receive salvation from my judgment with the global flood, is to build an ark for the saving of yourself and your family. God's plan, God's design, not Noah's plan, not Noah's idea. Again, Noah didn't even know judgment was coming until God told him. Jesus Christ, God's plan, God's method of salvation from eternal judgment. Not man's plan, God's plan. That Christ took our punishment for us so that we might be redeemed, saved, be set free from God's judgment, God's punishment of sin. Yeah. Noah obeyed God and was saved. Now God tells us by faith to receive his free gift, his free offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. There's only way of salvation, only one way of salvation from the flood. That was the ark. There's only one way of salvation from God's ultimate, divine, just punishment of sin. And that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who on the tree paid our death penalty for us. Jesus told Thomas, again, in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. One way. Yeah, not man's way, God's way. One way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, a little bit earlier, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. whoever enters by me will be saved. The ark had one door, only one way into the ark to be saved from the flood. Jesus is the only way. He compares himself to the door. Only one entrance into God's saving grace is through him. Like Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter telling the Jewish religious leaders, there is salvation in no other. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. One ark for salvation, Jesus Christ. One method of salvation. Both provided by God that we might escape his divine judgment, his divine wrath against sin. That's the message we need to take to a lost and dying world. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Told people, judgment is coming. Salvation is in the ark. Trust God, believe God, and you can be saved. That's our message today. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Judgment is coming. God's divine judgment on sin is coming. Christ paid it on the cross. Accept God's payment and be free. Be safe. Have a relationship with the creator of the universe. Your future is secured. Otherwise, you'll have to pay your own sin penalty yourself, which is an eternity in hell. And that is the message God wants us to take to a lost and dying world. Back to Deuteronomy 6. Verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. We are to be continually thinking about, treasuring, sharing the truth that God has given to us. The Chinese wanted to do that by putting it in their language, hiding these Bible truths. But they were plain. They were there. They wanted future generations to see it, to understand it, to know it. But what happened? They still have these characters in their language. But today, they didn't pass down the truth. They just maybe assumed people would continue to understand. They didn't. They've lost the truth. They have it right before their eyes every day when they read a newspaper or read the internet or whatever. But they don't understand the history, the importance, the significance of why these characters were put together the way they are. Yeah. How many homes have a Bible? Probably lots of homes. It's great to have a Bible. But that's not enough. Just having a Bible in your house won't save you. You've got to read it. You've got to understand it. You've got to believe it. That's why we've got to teach our children the truth, the importance, the value, the eternity of God's Word. That is our duty, our responsibility as parents, as Christians. That we are to pass down the truth. Don't just assume just because we have a Bible in our homes, our children, our families will be Christian. We have to take responsibility to diligently pass down the truth contained in God's Word. Otherwise, it'll be lost. And we see that in our culture today. We were founded as a Christian nation. Yeah. Was everybody Christian in America? No, of course not. But I think most everyone had an understanding of the Bible, had a respect for the Bible, even though they may not have put their personal trust in Christ as their Savior. But today we've seen how far we've gotten away in just 200 years, even just the last 100 years. We see how, even the last 50 years, how far we've gotten away from the truth of the Bible. Now people Yeah, there used to be respect, honor for the Bible, even though they might have not have fully believed it. Now there's disdain for the Bible. There's disrespect for the Bible. There's complete disbelief in the Bible in our culture and our society. Why? Because as a church, we have not passed down that truth to our children. We have not passed it along to society, to culture, to continue sharing the truth of God's word. Is Jesus your example? Is Jesus your pattern? Are you living your life each day in service to him? 1 Peter chapter 2, again verse 23, who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Are we doing that every day? I can look at myself and say, I know I could do a whole lot better. I know. And I need to pray every day for God's help, God's strength, to die to self daily, to live for Christ. I mean, it is a daily battle, a daily struggle. Satan knows our temptations. Our next study I want to do with our CBF group is spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. We are daily in a battle, spiritual warfare. Satan wants us defeated. He knows he can't take away our salvation, but he's trying his best to make us ineffective. And he's done a good job in America of making Christians ineffective over the past 50 years, that we have not spoken out. We've not shared the truth as we should have. John chapter 15, verse 12, Christ's words, and this is my commandment, that you love one another. You're my disciples if you keep my commandments. Is that our example? Is Christ our example? Are we obeying him? Are we honoring him daily with our lives? I just wanted to challenge you and challenge myself that, you know, we need Christ as our example. We need to be following him daily. Daily walk in our lives, with our families, at work, in the community, just being faithful representative, faithful witness, faithful steward for Christ. And the Bible says it is accounted to stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah. Doesn't say rich, doesn't say powerful, doesn't say intelligent. It says faithful. Faithful. We can all be faithful. We can all be faithful. We have different abilities otherwise, but all of us can be faithful in sharing and passing down and continuing the truth that we've received from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that you have given it to us today. And just pray you would help us to diligently just study it, to share it, to proclaim it, that you give us opportunities, that you give us boldness to be faithful witnesses, faithful stewards for you, to our friends, to our families, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. And I know we can all do better. And I know Satan tempts us, Satan discourages us, but we pray we would take strength in you and in your word, and that you would help us. You would help us to accomplish the task you have before us, to be faithful stewards and faithful witnesses for Christ, and that he suffered and died to pay the sin penalties of the world. Not man's plan, not man's design, but your plan, by your grace, by your mercy, by your love, that we can be forgiven, we can be redeemed, we can be given a right relationship by you, if we simply put our faith and trust in Christ. Just help us to faithfully share this message with the lost and dying world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.